Welcome to the Doghouse. The Marquez brothers go on the discount surgery plan, which maybe Warren, we should probably get Warren on that as well. So he can get his Warren, so he can get his brain.
I don't know who that is.
Get his brain drained, right? He can get that juice that some people call intelligence.
The only Warren I knew didn't have a brain.
So. Yeah, that's the point.
So I'm just saying.
Wow, World Superbike is
boring.
Yeah, I didn't think it could get more boring, but it was completely boring. I would say this is the first week that I actually fast forwarded, and I got to say congratulations to Mike in our pool for being dumb enough to think that he could go and make his picks during the red flag. Right, he could change his picks during red flag. Did you see that? It's like, yeah, nobody else that doesn't watch it live would have the ability.
But it's not that. It's once, the picks got to be in before the start of the race.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. You know. And if your guy gets injured, tough luck. If he gets
wiped out in the race, then that's tough.
That's
tough
it. Titties. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, but then he did manage to find somebody else to wreck.
So it didn't matter.
I almost thought about
granting him his wish and then taking the -5 points for changing your pick.
Yes.
Just so it didn't matter. Be like, there you go. But whatever. Pick's got to be in before the thing. You want to get in the pool. It probably still ain't too long to come in. We've been having terrible luck. I mean, we've had races where nobody scored a point. We're just doing terrible. World Superbike is not even worth. I would just watch the highlights.
Well, what I did, watching the whole race. What I did this weekend was I watched pretty much like the first 5 or 6 laps of each race, and then fast forwarded to the end because once Buliga got control, then it was like that. Lekomona was not going to catch him.
I watched the highlights. They showed me the little bit of action.
Yeah.
Buliga taking over.
And then
went to the end. It wasn't even like it was back and forth racing or anything like that. It was just,
there was a little bit of that in the very beginning. In race one and in the Super Bowl race, but it's like, when a guy's that much in control and is not making mistakes, it's kind of crushes your spirit a bit. It's like, nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right. So that's World Superbike, and that's really all that's warranted, and probably more than is warranted.
Yeah, we probably spoke too much on that.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to do something to fix that.
Well, they will, but they will do something stupid because that's what they do. Right? They'll do something stupid like penalize the Ducati,
Yamaha.
The manufacturer.
We'll penalize Yamaha.
Yeah, we'll penalize Yamaha, right?
That's what they really do. We're going to penalize Kawasaki. What?
Yeah. So, they never come up with a good solution. I mean, if the point was that the Ducatis that were that much better than all the other bikes in the race, which I don't think, by the way, is true, because we saw Honda seems like in World Superbike has made some strides. The thing is Buliga. So I don't know how you solve the problem with a single rider.
I can do it. It's easy.
Make him start from the back of the pack every race.
Staggered start.
Yeah.
Worst qualifying times, right? And if they think you're tanking it, you get disqualified, right? So you got to run within like 3 seconds of your qualifying lap. So you can't
So you're going to like basically have them line up reverse order.
No. I'm going to have guys gone. If Buliga's beating this guy by 37.7 seconds, that guy needs to be 37 seconds ahead of him so that Buliga has to push it to chase him.
Yeah.
Or every race you win, you get penalized 10 seconds at the start of the next race. If you win a race, you just get penalized 10 seconds. So if you win 2 in a row, bam, 20 seconds.
Well, why not just have them do the long lap penalty every race?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, because that'll set him back into the pack. So
they have to do something because.
Well, I don't think they have to do something here, because it's too late this season, and this season's screwed. Yeah, this season's screwed, and he's going to be in MotoGP next season. It's almost certain.
Well, you know, okay, I know that's what everybody's saying. Number one, where? I don't see there being an opening for him.
He'll be on a satellite Ducati team because he's got to deal with Ducati.
He's probably watching Top Rack that mopped the floor with him last year and going, I might as well win championships here and get paid.
Well, Top Rack made, I think, kind of like a terminal mistake. Right,
he said, I'm
going to jump into it. No, because satellite Ducati team is a whole lot better than the Yamaha team.
Ducati has too many people on their satellite teams now.
Yeah,
right.
But
are you going to take somebody with no experience on the bike over a bunch of people with experience on the bike?
Yeah, I would actually, because I mean,
that you don't know if he can pass, you don't know if he can do anything but hot laps.
Yeah, but you're never going to know that, right? You're never going to know.
There are guys, you know, guys who actually have to battle somebody. I know about Buliga.
Yeah.
The last guy in MotoGP who's averaging, 15th finish. Beat the pants off him. You think I'm giving that guy a good ride? No.
Mm-mm. No, but what I'm saying is that
there's no. I would rather take champ.
You know, we don't know anything about 2027 because of the changes in mm-hmm. MotoGP. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know what the effect is going to be, right? I mean, we could be shocked, and Yamaha could be in the best position next season, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. It's a complete wild card season, so we don't know anything. But he's already got this relationship with Ducati. He's actually got a contract as a test rider with Ducati. So I would be shocked if he doesn't show up on a satellite team.
Yeah, okay. You know who I would take before him?
Yeah.
Matthew Skultz.
Oh, God, no, I wouldn't.
I would. You know why? Because at least Matthew Skultz, I've seen race people, and he has racecraft. I know nothing of Bullock. Even when he was losing the Top Rack, he was still 15 seconds ahead of the other people and 12 seconds behind Top Rack.
That's true.
I know that guy can actually manage a race? How can he can he figure out how to pass somebody? Can he do any of that stuff?
I think if you go look at his when he won the championship of Super Sport, he definitely had to pass a lot of people all the time.
He was like 10 years older than everybody else there and had way more experience.
Yeah, goals. I mean, he is also one of the other riders that's actually had MotoGP experience too. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I think Top Rack was a more of a crapshoot than Buliga would be. It's my opinion. Right.
I don't know. At least Top Rack, I've seen battle with people. Ray.
Well, I'm telling you that Buliga did in Super Sport. Now in Superbike, he's been in a position where he was going to be in the top six.
I just don't know how much faith I put in that.
I don't know either. I mean, like I said, it's a complete crapshoot for 2027 anyways. We don't know what's going to be of value next year. They're saying that people that actually have Superbike experience may have an advantage over MotoGP riders on the new bikes.
I don't see that at all, but...
Well, they're saying it's much closer to a Superbike than it is to the 1,000cc's.
I don't understand
the lightening up on the chassis. Well, because they have to lighten the chassis up, the fairing restrictions come in place, no aero, the electronics are not available anymore in 2027. So it does get a lot closer to a world superbike. And I'm sure they're doing that to make it cheaper. What?
I thought a Superbike has a bunch of electronics, right? That was always the difference when Western Racing started getting going. Changing the electronics.
It does, but not at the level that you have on a MotoGP bike. And they're disabling a bunch of it. So you're actually technically a little bit disadvantaged over a World Superbike bike in 2027. No launch control, no squatting, aero gone, it's a complete it's if you go back and look at the last time they dropped into the 800 cc's in MotoGP,
I try not
to. This is actually farther back in technology that they're going to. So why are they doing all that? Well, they claim it's for competitive purposes. They always say that. I don't buy that. I think it's to keep the cost down. It's because it's costing them, you know, for every MotoGP bike to run for a season, just the bike itself without the supporting team is around $6.5-7 million.
But so, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. How 200 cc's is the difference in that?
It's not. It's all the other rule changes. That's what I'm saying.
Why are they because dropping they did 200
the 800s. Cc's? When they dropped into the 800s, what, 13, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
When they did that, they didn't have all those other rule changes, and they were able to, as the electronics improved, they were running at the same speeds the thousands were running at. They're not going to have that available to them next season.
So all right. So
they're just making them slower.
Right. Why?
Well, they claim is for competitive purposes, and I think it's for cost reasons.
I mean, I'm more likely to believe you, mm-hmm. but I can't see a team saying, I mean, I guess a team it could be, but like, I mean, I've always made the argument you don't need speed to have good racing.
Right? I would agree.
Some of the best racing we watch every week religiously is at 35 miles an hour. That's Supercross.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to be going 100, 200 miles an hour.
No.
Good racing.
No, right? I agree.
But if Supercross was like, we're going to slow down to 18 miles an hour.
It would be boring.
Yeah,
it'd be boring.
Right.
So I don't know what they're going to accomplish, if anything. I mean, me personally, without them being specific about exactly what they're hoping to accomplish, to me, it's another folly, because this is what happened when they went to the 800 cc's, and even though they got the speed back, they still went up to the 1,000 cc's. Why did they do that? Because the fans were screaming for it. They heard that all the time. Bring back the 1,000 cc's.
They're going to hear that again.
Why? Because I want to see people go on a motorcycle 250 miles an hour down the straightaway. You know, a lot of race fans just want to see the fastest thing that they can see in racing, even though it might not be the best racing. Yeah, it's called drag racing. I agree. But that's what a lot of fans like. They want the speed, the ridiculous speeds, you know, and things like that. They want the bikes to get faster and faster all the time. I would rather see, just make it more competitive racing with more passing. And then that will make for better
Moto 3, right?
Moto 3 is a little bit too far the other direction, right? Because Moto
3, I don't know. I like 3, going into a corner 20th and coming out
first. The reason Moto 3 is called Moto 3 is because you only need to watch the last three laps.
Probably the last three turns.
Yeah, probably the last three turns.
It's so fun. You're like, who the hell is that guy? Where'd that guy come from? Why is he even racing? What's going on?
It is the shuffling in Moto 3 is just a... I think that's a little bit too much, but that's my personal preference. But I would rather see a lot more passing is going on. And you do in MotoGP mid-pack. That's where you're seeing it. The best racing generally goes on mid-pack.
That's the problem with World Superbike. It is, the field is so stretched out.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't see any racecraft.
No. Very little. Yeah, very little. I agree.
Like you're watching back and then... Of course, they're showing the guy who, you know, the race leader, because that's what people want to see is the race leader. But you're not watching anything entertaining.
Well, have you noticed, at least I've noticed it in the last two or three World Superbike races, they're spending far less time on the leaders.
Yeah.
Because Bulaga doesn't
have a big fan base and nobody cares.
I agree. And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, Lekuona, when they're passing each other, it's good racing, but it doesn't last for very long. And then it's just, you know, a very lonely first place and a very lonely second place, and it's not worth watching.
Unfortunately for that guy, I root for him to crash all the time.
Why?
His name is way too close to a girl I used to date. Woman I used to date.
Okay.
So I'm like, F that guy. But, you know, I don't know. I even well, MotoGP had a little bit of change this week just because, you know, people were crashing, and I guess
a lot of crashing. What did they have? Three red flags in the MotoGP race? Yeah, two or three. But yeah, it's. I would say the racing right now is more competitive in MotoGP because there doesn't seem like there's anybody who's really standing out. Bezzecchi was for a while, but you know, Bezzecchi seems like he's pulling what Gonzalez did in Moto2.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, where he was looked like a world beater in the first half of the season, the second half of the season didn't seem like he really cared.
It's like they don't have anybody that it just seems like to me they don't have anybody that wants to close it, right?
It doesn't seem that way, but you know, the other thing too is you got a lot of injuries that are going on, right? Like we mentioned, I mean, both Marquez brothers are out. Mm-hmm. Alex Marquez pretty seriously effed up. Okay,
yeah, I haven't seen the injury.
He's a mess. He broke his collarbone. He had the surgery was for his collarbone, but he broke three vertebrae in his back too.
Oh, that's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a mess, but they didn't do surgery on his back because I guess they felt like it immobilized him and that would be sufficient. But he's got a plate now holding his collarbone together, her clavicle, same difference, I believe. You know, who else is out there? I mean, it's Bezzecchi and, you know, Oliveira's was looking good for a while, but he's seriously injured now. I mean, who's going to be that person? Who inherits it? It has to be Bezzecchi or Martin.
Maybe Acosta? He threw it away.
Yeah, he threw it away. And the thing about it with Acosta is I think that, and I can't say it's Acosta, it's probably some combination of that bike and him having to push that bike to the very limit. It can't hang on to tires for a whole race. It just can't.
No.
That bike will just eat any tires that you put on it. It looks like KTM did bring back some speed to the – more speed than we've seen in a GP bike from KTM ever. But which is sort of interesting because KTM and Moto2, which they owned for a long time, they've fallen – way down in Moto2. But in MotoGP, they're making progress. But I just think that his nature on that bike is he's going to run to these kind of problems, you know, consistently. I got speed, but I can't hold it. So I don't know. No talk yet. No mention of Mark Marquez coming back. He was originally slated, I think, for the next race to come back, but no one said anything.
Yeah.
Since then, his, you know, he had two surgeries.
Yep.
So who knows? You know, that points wise, it's going to be very, very tough for him to do anything this season. Although nobody else seems to want it. So maybe not.
Yeah, but he's almost 100 points back.
Yeah, he's
almost like in the 80s point range back.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it is it just going to be Martin and Bezzecchi fighting it out for the rest of the season? Because I don't think that
maybe Pedro Acosta is going to be surprising. Maybe DJ and Antonio.
Maybe. I don't know. That's his first race win, right? So
in MotoGP. I don't feel confident saying that, but he's only 26 behind the leader.
So he's collecting decent points, that means.
He's collecting decent points.
Yeah.
Right? Here's somebody else who's collecting decent points that I was like, this might be the worst top five season for a guy points-wise that I've ever seen is Iago Aguirre.
Yeah, which I was surprised to see that he was that fifth close. In points.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he was fifth in points. I haven't seen him really do anything. I don't know how he got to be there. So
that's what I'm saying. Like you talked about somebody that everybody's sleeping on.
He did that without a podium, I believe.
I think he has one.
Okay.
Right. I think last race he snuck into third. The last, not this past round, the round before.
Oh, I don't recall.
I think he snuck a third there.
Okay.
But anyways, it's like, wow. I don't know.
I don't know, but if you right now, if you look at things right now, you would probably have to say, if it's going to come down to Bezeki and Martin, that Martin's got a big advantage.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah. So, which is kind of, again, it's more laughable because he's without a contract and he's going to end up being on a Honda next season. Or an Aprilia, I'm sorry.
Aprilia.
No, not Aprilia, on a Honda.
Yeah, he's on Aprilia now.
He's on Aprilia now. He's going to be on a Honda next season. Which, who knows, in 2027, maybe that's a good move. Nobody knows, right?
It's a crapshoot, right? As of right now,
it's a complete crapshoot, and I would have to think that, okay, the 800cc class of motorcycles is like in the sweet spot for the Japanese manufacturers. So if Yamaha and Honda can't do something with this, they never will.
Yeah, Ducati had the 798.
Again, right? In racing?
No.
You know, that's what I'm saying. In racing. Honda and Yamaha both won during the 800cc era.
That is true.
Ducati didn't.
And then we have Moto America. Was that Barber? Right?
Yeah, I'm just completely losing interest in Moto America, I'm sorry to say.
Well, Skoltz had a good weekend. JD Beach finally. I mean, Barber's a track that suits him, I think.
I don't think Skoltz having success helps the sport much, because it just plays into that whole thing of, okay, we're going to keep flipping people back and forth between super sport, super bike. He just won in super sport. He wins a championship in super bike. I don't know.
Well, I think
a lot of fans won't care.
The thing is I think the biggest thing is nobody else is being consistent.
Well, and you know, if he won, he would be like the youngest rider to win in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And he's not young.
He's not young.
Right. And it's just how aged the riders in Moto America are that win the superbikes.
Yeah. I was shocked to see that SDK, Sean Dillon Kelly, is in second place in the points.
Yeah. Again,
another guy who you're not hearing race wins and this, that, and the other thing.
No, he's collecting points.
I mean, he's still like 30 some odd points back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think right now they're like Moto America is kind of searching for their identity and not doing a great job, in my opinion.
Moto America has the same problem Supercross has.
Yes, exactly. I think that's exactly true. They have the same problem that Supercross has. Yep.
There's a, you know, 10 years ago, they moved up a bunch of guys because there were people leaving and they needed fight and they needed this. And now those guys are kind of stuck there and not retiring or not, you know, not moving on or whatever. And it's like,
just taking up seats,
you know, so you have you're beginning to pull up a bottleneck behind you. Right?
You absolutely are. How do you expect you're going to be able to develop younger riders if there's no seats available?
If there's no seats for them.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem.
And the sad thing was, there was a time early in Moto America's time when Super Sport was the gateway to Superbike. That's no longer true.
No.
It's no longer true. And I think that's a shame. And it should be that through the ranks, right? If you want to replicate what the other sports in, like, especially like in Europe are doing.
Yeah.
You got to do that, right? And Moto America talked a good story about doing that some years ago, but I don't see them executing on it. And
yeah, but so the problem, it's the same problem with Supercross, right? It's the exact same problem.
It is.
The sport doesn't decide who rides the bikes, and the manufacturers want names.
Well, yeah, so you're saying the sponsors basically are controlling.
Yeah, like,
well, the sponsors to some extent do. They do to some extent. You know, I mean, that's certainly even true at the MotoGP level. that sponsors have influence on it because they, you know, they're putting money into it. But I think that, you know, again, it's in MotoGP, you fall from grace, it's a pretty steep fall, right? When I think of like Joanne Mir, right? Mm-hmm. He won the COVID shortened season, remember?
Yeah.
That's when he won. And
I will call him the El Hombre of MotoGP.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. But you know, if he got sent down to Superbike or something like that next season, or anybody, it wouldn't surprise me, right? They have this natural fleshing process, but he'll never go to Moto. You'll never see a MotoGP rider go to Moto2. They may go from MotoGP to World Superbike. They may go from Moto2 to World Superbike. You'll never see them move down in class at the GP level because it doesn't happen. I don't ever remember that happening.
I can't name any.
Even I go back to the earliest days I watched it, and I remember guys running in what became the Moto2 class, which was the 250s then.
Yep.
The guys running in both the 250s and the 500s, because at that time there was 500cc's, GP level. Guys running in both series, but you never saw somebody who was a GP rider ever go down to the 250s.
Yeah.
And could you imagine a Moto2 rider going down to Moto3? Never.
Well, you did have that one, the guy who grabbed the brake things.
I don't recall.
I can't think of his name. He grabbed the guy's brake lever in the race. Remember, they suspended him for the rest of the season?
I don't recall that. I mean, when was
Roman
that?
Something.
I don't know.
I think it was Roman or Roman.
I don't know. I don't know.
Fanati?
Maybe they. Romano Fanati?
Romano Fanati.
Isn't that like one of Rossi's guys? I think it's one of Rossi's.
Remember,
guys.
He was in Moto 2 and got booted from Moto 2 and went down to Moto 3, and now it's back to Moto 2, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
See, I was like a
steel trap. A steel trap hanging onto a five guys burger.
Like a colander. Anyways, we got like 2 minutes to go or so, I think. But I guess next week we'll talk a little bit about some of the motocross and supercross news. Webb talking about what his future is going to look like. Roxon maybe talking about what his looks like. And that's another series where people.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's a series that's basically clogged up.
Yeah.
And the only way you get in is by winning the 250 championship.
But
the only
those
way
guys
you
aren't
get
getting good rides. Some of them.
Well, I mean, you know, the Lawrence brothers, the Lawrence brothers or Deegan, and that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, Justin Cooper had won a championship and
everybody else is just sort of stuck there. And I mean, you've got guys now that are, I think they should let people age out of the 450s. Like if you don't win a championship
so
in 5 years, you're gone.
Moto America, they had a clip where they had they've been pushing this clip of Josh Hayes and he's like 75 years old and they're
I know.
You know, what was your best moment? And you know, it's so great, you're still racing. It's like, no, give him a seniors tour.
Exactly. That's
all
a great idea.
All he's doing is keeping a super sport seat away from somebody else.
So age him out at 5 years and then make him eligible for the senior 50, tour.
55, you know,
whatever. See, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway. This has been the Doghouse here on ntnradio.com. We'll be back next week. We're going to do, I don't know. We'll have stuff to talk about.
I don't even know what's going on. Oh, we have.
There's no racing this week.
There's no racing this week?
No. Everything's 2 weeks from now.
Oh, wow. So we have another doubles weekend coming up then?
We have the start of Supercross. The start of Motocross. It's going to be at Fox. Moto America is going to be at Road America. Moto GP is going to be at Mugello. And World Superbike is going to be at Aragon.
So quick, is Jet going to make the opener?
I don't know. Let's talk about that next week.
Okay, cool.